Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today I have a really special guest on, someone I'm really excited to have back. We had an awesome show last time he appeared, and actually the show went viral because what he had to say was the truth. And I don't think we're hearing a lot about that these days during the coronavirus pandemic. And everything that we hear on TV, radio is about what prescription we can take, what medication, what vaccine. But there's been an absolute absence of people talking about how to stay healthy, how to boost your immune system, what you need to do to actually take care of yourself. And I wanted Dr. Peter Glidden to come back on because he is a wealth of knowledge. He's an outspoken advocate, a science-based, clinically verified medicine. He's a naturopathic doctor. He's an author. He teaches and he understands science. It's not about emotion. It's not about manipulation. It's about the truth. And I wanted Dr. Glidden to come on today to talk about how we can take our power back and be advocates for ourselves, quite frankly. So Dr. Glidden, I wanted to thank you so much for coming back on. It's an absolute pleasure to be back with you.
Well, you're very kind, Dr. George. I'm happy to speak the truth to as frequently as possible. So I appreciate the platform.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So let's get started. What's your thoughts about this whole COVID situation? There's so many, I don't know, it's like they say one thing and it's the opposite. For example, first we weren't supposed to wear masks. Now we're supposed to wear masks. And in some instances, someone said you're supposed to wear them in your house by yourself, which makes absolutely no sense to me. So let's start off with what we're being told. Are we given proper information to actually protect ourselves?
Well, as the saying goes, you know what you call the person who graduated last in their class in medical school?
Doctor.
You call them doctor. That's right. So the problem here is that we haven't had a free medical market since 1912. In 1912, Congress granted the American Medical Association exclusive control over who could and who couldn't call themselves a doctor and who could and who couldn't practice medicine. It was a hostile takeover of the medical marketplace, and they have maintained their position at the top ever since with the unimaginable wealth and political persuasion of Big Pharma, which enjoys more political largesse even than the military-industrial complex does, that the money is unimaginable. So we haven't had a free medical market for 108 years now. That's longer than anybody's been alive. So this monopoly is so complete that nobody even knows that it exists, right? Mm-hmm. People just look around and they say, well, holy smokes, the only medicine practiced in my hospital is MD medicine. The only medicine they do research at my university is MD medicine. The only medicine my insurance pays for is MD medicine. The only medicine they make TV shows about with George Clooney is MD medicine. Therefore, the MDs must be better at what they do than everybody else. That's a logical conclusion, unless you understand the historical data point regarding the monopoly and the hostile takeover. So this monopoly is so complete that it lends itself to corruption and misinformation. There was a very interesting article that was published about a year ago. I think it was Time Magazine or Newsweek that ran it. And it was over 80% of the time when a person would get a diagnosis from Dr. A and then go across the street to Dr. B for a second opinion, mm-hmm. they got a completely different diagnosis over 80% of the time. Well, how can that be? Well, it's a function of incompetence, quite frankly. And also, you know, medicine is it's a never-ending story. And in order for a physician, a licensed physician, to be completely up to speed with all of the literature and all of the research, it's like 1,000 hours a week that you'd have to read medical journals, and nobody can possibly do that. So the problem here is that we have a monopoly, and inside of a monopoly, nobody questions authority. So you're absolutely right. And, you know, 1 week they tell us, oh, it's like the Spanish flu. It's as bad as the Spanish flu and everybody's going to die. Be afraid, be very afraid. And then 3 weeks later, they tell us, well, you know, it's probably just the same as the seasonal flu. And then the fourth week they tell us, nope, it's pretty bad. It's killing more people than the seasonal flu did. And then the next week they tell us, well, your kids are perfectly safe. And then the next week they tell us, well, you have to do social distancing and we're not going to let the kids back into school and we have to wait for the vaccine. Oh, it's the vaccine. It's the vaccine. They tell us alternating levels of scientific data, scientific fact all of the time, but which are conflicting, right? Mm-hmm. But the monopoly disallows us from questioning it. And this is the single biggest mind bender for me, you know, as a licensed naturopathic doctor. I've been doing this for over 31 years now. It's amazing to me how conventional medicine can just let people down and the general population gives them a pass. I mean, it's the only industry that can do that, which has been exemplified by this coronavirus craziness because of the conflicting information that we're getting from them. And yet, you know, nobody's calling on Dr. Fauci to be removed from office. Nobody's questioning the validity of the pharmaceutical agenda. Nobody's questioning the intellectual integrity of the people who are disseminating this information. And everybody's just shutting up and putting the masks on.
Right.
And it's nonsense. It is. I think this is a microcosmic example of the dumbing down of the population that's happened here for the last 100 years and the complete, utter, and total tyrannical control that the pharmaceutical industry has over everything medical. Because, you know, I mean, let's be honest, you're welcome to your own set of facts. You're welcome to your own opinion, but you're not welcome to your own set of facts. Mm-hmm. The facts are that the leading cause of death in the United States is pharmaceutical medicine. The leading cause of bankruptcy is pharmaceutical medicine. And while this monopoly has been in place, Alzheimer's is skyrocketing, autism is skyrocketing, just as many people get heart disease now as they did 80 years ago. Obesity, a third of the population, both children and adults, are obese. Blood sugar issues are out of control. Arthritis is out of control. It's bad, baby, and it's not getting any better. And yet, we give the medical doctors a pass. Nobody says, well, look, while you guys have been in charge, we're getting sicker and we're losing money and there's no hope on the horizon. What the hell is going on here? Maybe we should give the naturopaths a chance. Maybe we should give the herbalists a chance. Maybe we should give the Ayurvedic doctors a chance. Maybe we should give the acupuncturists a chance. Maybe, well, how about we have a free medical market where we give everybody a chance? Nobody's saying that because we've all been convinced and socialized to believe over the last 108 years that the MDs and the pharmaceutical industry have that secret decoder ring to all things medical. And, you know, everybody but them practices back of the bus, dangerous quack medicine. And it's amazing to me inside of this coronavirus craziness that the medical doctors can change their story so frequently and everybody gives them a pass.
You know, I would add a corollary to that, because I think my colleagues have become the medical doctors. Some of us have become very, very astute and savvy about holistic care. It's not about practicing medicine, just writing a script for many of us now. It's about incorporating what you just said. Help the body help itself, a cellular approach, integrative approach about how physiology works. And I would say that this system is also taking us out as well. I mean, there's a congressman who had a question about coronavirus. Now he's being, investigated by his medical body and he may lose his license. And that's just because he had a question. So this is an interesting point. And we need to take our first break and think about that for a second. You're living in the solution. This is Dr. George. Living in the solution is not only about taking control of your health, it's about peace of mind. In uncertain times, your financial health is also important because it gives you options. I took control of my financial health by contacting Miles Franklin Investments, a company with 30 years of experience, an A+ Better Business Bureau rating, and over $600 billion in investments. They're also only one of 24 companies approved by the U.S. Mint. I recommend you find out if investing in gold or silver is right for your future. Contact Andy at milesfranklin.com and put Dr. George in the subject line for the best price guaranteed. Understanding health insurance is becoming more challenging. If you currently have insurance, you've probably noticed that it costs more to see your doctor. And if you're able to keep your doctor, it takes longer to get an appointment. The bad news is this trend is projected to continue. Your costs will likely continue to rise, while your healthcare choice and access will continue to fall. The good news is Peachtree ENT Center has the answer to this problem. We're committed to working with you. We specialize in providing affordable care for patients without insurance, those who are underinsured, and those with high deductible or catastrophic coverage. And we offer same-day appointments. You no longer have to choose between staying healthy and paying bills, because Peachtree ENT Center is where patient care counts. Call 404-591-9100 or visit us at peachtreeentcenter.com.
If you missed the show, you can listen to it on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and a host of other multimedia platforms. Subscribe and share it with your friends.
Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Peter Glidden. He has a website, glidden.healthcare. People should go there and they can read more about what he's done, his education. He has lots of links about coronavirus, and you need to subscribe to his newsletter because it's a wealth of information. And one of the things this show is about education and knowledge. We don't have to agree, but I think we should start from a place of known instead of being ignorant. And, you know, glorying in your ignorance is not how we should integrate and how we should speak with each other. And this is not about being against something, all right? I don't want people to think that. It's about being for something. Whether you're a naturopath and medical doctor, whatever, we all want the same thing, which is for our patients to be healthy. There is more than one way to treat people. And I think you're absolutely correct. The monopoly that the healthcare system has in education, in patient care, in insurance, what they pay for and what they don't, is really an uneven playing field. But I think during this whole Affordable Care Act and now the coronavirus, it's actually a playing field that does not work for doctors or patients. It's a centralized, top-down, corporate-driven mess. And it's about taking our privacy, our power, our choice, and making us have one option. And if we don't like it, it's too bad. That's not how it's supposed to work, is it?
Well, no, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, I do become a somewhat bombastic because, you know, my profession has been assaulted.
It has.
By conventional medicine for decades. But you're absolutely positively correct. It's about a level playing field. Conventional medicine, MD-directed allopathic pharmaceutical-centrist medicine, is fantastic for trauma care. Surgery when it's necessary. That's the right dog for that hunt. Which is interesting because all of the major medical advances in the last 80 years have been in the field of technology and surgical stuff. The stuff that surgeons can do now is just this side of miraculous. And that's the wheelhouse of conventional medicine, right? Mm-hmm. Chronic disease, infectious disease, that's not the wheelhouse of conventional medicine. That's the wheelhouse of my profession and other professions. What we need here is a free medical market. We need freedom. You know, your medical insurance should cover naturopathic medicine, chiropractic medicine, osteopathic medicine, homeopathic medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, whatever you want. It should cover it. Hospitals should allow naturopathic doctors and Ayurvedic doctors and chiropractors and homeopaths and herbalists to have privileges. I mean, who said that the pharmaceutical industry is the only industry that can deliver medical care? Well, I'll tell you who said it. It was the Rockefellers and the Carnegies, and they said it over 100 years ago. And this is just not right. We desperately need a free medical market with people have exposure to many different ways of being, mm-hmm. because as God is my witness, thank God for insulin and thank God for lidocaine. But for chronic disease, pharmaceutical medicine is the wrong dog for the hunt, and especially for infectious diseases like coronavirus.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, ultimately, what we're really trying to do is have people have a choice that's going to help them stay healthy. I don't think bankrupting someone is the answer. I mean, and withdrawing care yourself because you don't even want to enter the system. That's self, you know, taking yourself out of the system, and that's how you drop the price. You know, before the break, before we came on, you made a comment, and I think we just need to discuss that. What happened with the seniors? What happened with, where were the doctors that were, should have stood there and said, there's no way you should have a sick senior come back to a long-term care facility where you have the most vulnerable population and let that stand? What do you think happened there?
Well, if I had to extrapolate, I don't think it happened but because of accident or incompetence. I think it was an overt political move in order to drive the numbers of coronavirus deaths up in order to make Trump look worse, and then in order to make, in this case, New York State more viable candidate for federal funding, right? I mean, New York is practically bankrupt and they need money desperately. And what better way to do it than have the largest number of coronavirus victims in the country? I think it was done on purpose. I think they knew what they were doing. Of course, I don't have any evidence to support that. But if it looks like a duck and flies like a duck and quacks like a duck, well, it's probably a duck. The governor ordered people who had tested positive for coronavirus to be admitted into old folks' homes, where the most vulnerable people were, inside of a closed environment where you knew it was going to spread like wildfire, and only an idiot would do that while at the same time advocating social distancing and wearing masks for everybody else. It's 100% lunacy. Mm-hmm. But because human beings are by and large honest, caring people, it's hard for us to wrap our head around the notion that somebody could have done something like that on purpose. It's just hard for us to imagine that, you know, a sociopathic human being could actually have done that. And I'm of the opinion that that is exactly what happened.
I think it's kind of hard to ignore that when you see what happened in California and Michigan and Jersey. And it's really tragic. And almost 50% of the deaths were seniors. Well, and that's really amazing.
Yeah. So, and this is, you know, like the fella said, from the proper perspective, everything makes sense. So, a couple of fun facts to think about concerning the coronavirus, right? First of all, the vast majority of people who are infected with the coronavirus are asymptomatic carriers. Mm-hmm. They don't have any symptoms. Or maybe they feel sick for 24 hours, 48 hours. They don't even know that they have it, and yet they have it. And there was no problem whatsoever, maybe a little blip on the radar, but then a day later, they were perfectly fine. So how can an unbelievably virulent illness, which is going to kill, you know, 10% of all human beings on planet Earth, which is how this was pitched to us in the early days, how can it develop asymptomatic carriers in the vast majority of people? How is that possible? Well, it's only possible if it's not nearly as virulent as they thought it was. And it's not nearly as virulent as they thought it was. The people who were dying from this infection are dying because they had pre-existing health conditions. Kind of like, you know, the axle on their automobile was half rusted through. And then the coronavirus comes along. It's like a bumpy road that car is driving over. And now the axle breaks. Mm-hmm. Well, did the axle break because of the bumpy road? No. The axle broke because it was half rusted through to begin with. And why was it half rusted through to begin with? And I hate to drag this horse out and beat it again, because pharmaceutical medicine does not make people healthy. And look, when I'm appointed Surgeon General of the United States, it's going to be illegal for conventional medical doctors practicing allopathic medicine to advertise that they practice healthcare, because they don't. They practice disease management. And there's a giant difference between disease management and healthcare. Holistic physicians, functional medical doctors practice healthcare, and we actually attempt to make our patients healthier. And a healthy patient being infected with coronavirus sails right through it. I've had I think 6 or 7 patients, Corona, COVID-19, you know, symptomology. None of them were sick for more than a week under the therapeutics that I and my colleagues recommend. It's not the hardest thing in the world to treat, but, you know, with conventional medicine, who makes people weaker the older that they get, the heart disease isn't fixed, the pre-existing lung condition isn't fixed, the blood sugar conditions get worse and worse every year. And they're a house of cards waiting for a wind to blow. And then the wind blows and the cards fall over and, oh my God, now we have to all shelter in place. Well, we don't. What we need to do is quarantine the people who have the rusted through axles. You know, that would have been the thing to do, not crash the entire economy of the world because of false and misleading information. And mark my words, nobody's going to pay for this. There's going to be no repercussions. You know, and I say this all of the time. A colleague of mine, Dr. Dave Janda, he's an MD. He's a retired orthopedic surgeon. Years ago, he blew the whistle on the Vioxx scam. And Vioxx was a pharmaceutical medicine that was fast-tracked by the FDA with you know, smoke-filled room deals before it was properly vetted. And it killed 60,000 people. 60,000 people died from Vioxx, and the manufacturers of Vioxx knew that it was a dangerous drug, but they fast-tracked and sold it anyway and made billions of dollars into the bargain. Nobody went to jail. Nobody went to jail. 60,000 people died, and everybody knew that it was a scam. Now, can you imagine what would happen if a naturopathic doctor or a chiropractor or an herbalist or an Ayurvedic doctor gave one patient one herb and they died from it? We'd be pilloried in the town square, right? Oh, those quacks. Stay away from those quacks. But when the pharmaceutical industry does it, everybody just looks the other way. And the same thing is happening with coronavirus.
Well, you said something that's interesting. The fact that this is the first time, is it in history, that healthy people are being quarantined and not sick people?
I think that it is. And, you know, what rocket scientists thought up that strategy? I mean, the only reason that that happened is because for whatever reason, and again, I think it was misdirection. I think that this was done on purpose. When this first arrived on the scene, it was likened to the Spanish flu of 1918 that killed everybody that it touched. And it didn't matter if you were healthy. It didn't matter if you were young. Didn't matter if you were elderly. Didn't matter if you had a pre-existing health condition. The vast majority of people who became infected with the Spanish flu got really, really sick, and a vast majority of those people died. That was a big, bad voodoo daddy. And it was predicted that this was going to be just as bad or worse. Oh, my God, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. And that's why we went into massive lockdowns all around the world, which in retrospect were absolutely positively unnecessary. And then when you add into that all of the shenanigans that have gone on with the testing, with false positives and a positive person being, you know, counted 4 times instead of 1 time. And if a person dies with coronavirus instead of from coronavirus, it's recognized as a coronavirus death. All of these numbers have been tweaked. So we don't really know, in point of fact, how virulent this is, what the actual death rate is. We don't know the specific numbers, but I can tell you this. From my way of looking at it, from a rational, logical way of looking at it, it's no more dangerous than the seasonal flu, because the vast majority of people who have it are asymptomatic carriers, period. But, you know, it's all about the mask and social distancing, which is just a crock of crap.
Well, let's actually visit that when we come back, because the mask have become a weapon. And a psychological weapon at that. And I wanted to go into more detail what you think about that when we return. You're listening to Living in Solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Glidden. And before the break, we've been talking about the masks and the fact that it's become something that's not even rational at this point. Being told to wear a mask in your home by yourself 24 hours a day, essentially, as if that's the end-all, be-all. There's a question I have about that. I mean, I know the virus is so small from a part, the size of the particle is small enough to get through pretty much any mask, whether it's an N95, a surgical mask or cloth or whatever people are putting on their faces. Is there, I just want to be fair, is there any medical reason that it would help somebody that you can think of?
Well, if you had a pre-existing health condition, if you had really bad congestive heart failure, if you had really bad lung disease, if you had blood sugar that was out of control and you're 300 pounds overweight, then you should not be out in public. And if you ever do go out in public, you should be wearing sterile gloves and a mask in order to provide as much of a barrier between yourself and possibly infective people as you possibly can. But for Joe Schmo from Idaho to be walking around wearing a mask, it's absolutely positively ridiculous. And that I would argue that wearing the mask actually increases the transmission of the virus, because the number one vector of viral transmission is the hands. So you cough on something, you sneeze on something, you cover your mouth with your hand and you sneeze on it or you cough. And now there's virus particles on your hand, and you touch a doorknob, you touch a stair rail, and now the virus is on the knob or the stair rail, and someone else comes along and touches it, and now it's on their hand. And, you know, they scratch their face or their eye or put their finger in their tooth after lunch, and now the virus is in their body. Hands down, the number one vector of viral transmission is hand transmission. So what happens when you wear a mask? Well, if the mask does, in fact, collect the virus particles, what's going to happen to the virus particles when you take your mask off? Where are they going to go? They're going to go onto your fingertips. So, and there's going to be a lot of them because the mask has concentrated them. And, you know, they're finding virus particles both on the inside and the outside of the mask. So your point is well taken that the mask does very little to stop the transmission of the virus. You know, it might stop maybe 10% of it. And I just made that number up. Another interesting thing was done about 3 years ago. This had nothing to do with coronavirus or influenza or anything. It had everything to do with looking to see how surgical procedures could be made better. So they did controlled studies in the surgical theater, right, in the room where the surgery was being done, with doctors and nurses wearing gloves and masks and doctors and nurses not wearing gloves and masks. And the wearing of the gloves and masks during the procedure did nothing, absolutely nothing, to help the patient from being infected or not infected. It was a non-event. So you don't need to wear masks when you're doing surgery. I mean, that was proven. But, you know, because of the monopoly and because of the pharmaceutical power and because it's just such a massive engine, it takes a good 15 years for new research, which is valid and vetted, to actually make it into the mainstream. So even though that is, in point of fact, the academic truth, it's not going to transition into the actual surgical arena probably for 10 years. And more's the pity here. We need to be rational about this, but we're not rational about it. And more importantly, everybody's waiting for the vaccine, but the science is complete on this. The coronavirus is a particular type of virus. The coronavirus affects the human body's immune system in a different way than the influenza virus does. So you can't build a vaccine to a coronavirus the same way that you can build a vaccine to an influenza virus. In order to have an effective vaccine for a coronavirus, you have to create brand new technology. And, you know, when you create brand new technology, you have no idea what that's going to do, what the final product is going to do when you actually inject it into a human being. So the notion of waiting for a coronavirus vaccine is, in fact, not supported by the science, and it's risky. And, oh, by the way, and this was a mind blower for me when I uncovered this information, or when this was taught to me, rather. All of the vaccines which are now recommended for our children, and I think there's upwards of 20 of them now, right? None of the vaccines that have been recommended for our children to take on a regular basis, none of them, zero, have been subjected to double-blind placebo-controlled trials. None of them. So we don't really know what the vaccine is going to do. And when you read, when you academically as a physician read the published information regarding vaccination, you would ethically be required to hesitate to recommend your patient be vaccinated because of all of the variables that are built into this. I mean, and I could talk for 2 hours off the top of my head on it, but my simple point here is that most medical professionals don't read the journals. They read the headlines, you know, and they read the conclusion and that's it. They don't dig into the meat and potatoes of it. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you that if you did dig into the meat and potatoes of the published research concerning vaccination, you would not be an advocate of vaccination. You wouldn't be, because the research simply does not support it. But, you know, it's a big money grab. The Center for Disease Control gets a piece of the vaccine action. The pharmaceutical industry, of course, it's easy money for them because it's built in. I mean, you know, it's a guaranteed market, right?
Exactly.
So it's crazy, man, and it just gets crazier. And this is why your show is important. And this is why the solution to all of this, the Zen sword that would cut the knees right off of this, cut the heads off of this Hydra monster, is a free medical market. Because if we had a free medical market, then people like myself and my colleagues and the Ayurvedic doctors and the homeopaths, who, by the way, have had remarkable success with vaccine immunization with homeopathic medicines, we'd have a seat at the table. And none of this would have happened. And by none of it, I mean none of it would have happened.
That's a sobering thought, quite frankly. And, you know, the freedom to choose is what healthcare should be about. Not everything works for everybody. Everybody should be able to be informed so they can make a conscious choice and not have that taken from them. I mean, you mentioned a lot about the vaccines, and it gives you really a lot of food for thought, because even I've heard, you know, Dr. Fauci talk about how they may not work for the next season and we're not sure if it's going to work. I mean, why would you be putting people through something if you're not sure it's going to work? And that
when there are other options which are science-based, clinically verified, which have been proven to work.
Good point.
And it's not like there's nothing else out there, right? It's not like we have to throw a Hail Mary with the vaccine, right? Because there's nothing else to do. There's a lot to do, but it's not pharmaceutical centrist, allopathic oriented, so it's not even considered. And more's the pity.
But as consumers, as patients, when people go to their physician, I mean, again, I've always been a big proponent of this. If you don't get along with your doctor, if you have a question, if they don't answer your question, if you don't feel comfortable, vote with your pocketbook and your feet and find somebody else.
Yeah.
Because the fact that patients they feel like they have no other choice. I'm not sure what the mindset is, but they're starting to double down because they did get rid of a lot of private doctors during this COVID shutdown.
Yep.
And now I understand Walgreens is going to open up a family practice chain through the Walgreens. Yeah, I can tell you, just like it was in CVS, it's going to be a pipeline of pharmaceuticals.
That's right. You go
see the nurse practitioner, the physician assistant, whomever, and you're going to get a prescription before you can say boo. And it's an absolute conflict of interest. We're both speaking to each other because we both understand this, but doesn't anybody feel this is wrong, that you're able to eat at the trough, you're able to mandate people use your service, you're able to not test it necessarily, who knows what the safety is, but you're still held harmless. This is a bad system on all fronts.
Yeah, well, again, this from the Department of Redundancy Department, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And it doesn't matter what the industry is, right? It doesn't matter if it's real estate, doesn't matter if it's the automobile industry, the alcohol industry, the gaming industry, medicine, doesn't matter. If it's a monopoly, things are going to go south quickly and people are going to start grabbing money because there's a lot of unscrupulous people in the world. And this is, from my point of view, if your listeners knew 10% of what I knew about the ability of naturopathic medicine, science-based, clinically verified, licensed and regulated naturopathic medicine, by the way, if they knew 10% of what I knew about the effectiveness of naturopathic medicine, this castle would be stormed down overnight. People don't know about it because the medical monopoly doesn't want you to know about it. And it's not a conspiracy theory. It's absolutely positively true. And it's also held in place by something called cognitive dissonance. Because the education of a PhD or a medical doctor is an intellectual meat grinder. And the outcome of conventional medicine education for most people, and there are people that are the exception to the rule, like you, and like MDs who have seen the light of functional medicine and want to get away from drugs and move more towards the naturopathic point of view. But most people, they become more and more and more closed-minded. A really interesting study was done 3 years ago, I think. They published, a research group published a paper about a brand new drug. And they gave it to, I think, 50 different medical doctors to be peer-reviewed, right? What do you think about this? What do you think about the methodology? What do you think about the statistical analysis? What do you think about the procedures? What do you think about the paper? And everybody gave it 10 thumbs up. There was a fantastic study. The methodology was great. The epidemiology, everything about it was fantastic. Couldn't have done it better myself. Gets straight A. Then they took exactly the same paper and they crossed out the drug and they inserted an herb in place of the drug. And that's the only thing they changed.
Mm-hmm.
They had it reviewed by more of their peers, and everybody gave it a resounding thumbs down. It's one of the worst research projects I've ever seen. Oh, the methodology was flawed to begin with. Oh my God, I can't believe this piece of garbage was even, fast-tracked in the first place. And the only thing that was different was they were talking on the one hand about a pharmaceutical, on the other hand about an herb. And the reason that there was so much resistance to the herb is because of the cognitive dissonance, which is built into the education, that most licensed physicians are not even aware it is present. And, this stands out in stark contrast in my practice and my colleagues. I can't tell you how many times I've treated a patient who'd been previously treated by a conventional medical doctor, for 5 years with a blood sugar issue or an arthritic issue or migraine headaches or fibromyalgia or whatever. And 3-4 months with me, they're cured. It's gone. It's handled. They don't have it anymore. And they go back to their medical doctor who'd been treating them for 5 years unsuccessfully. The medical doctor goes, "Oh my God, what did you do?" "Well, we went to see a naturopath." Silence. Not once in 31 years have I received a phone call from any of those people asking me, "What the hell did you do?" And you would think that would be the first thing that they, "Well, oh, I can't believe this is remarkable. Rheumatoid arthritis. I thought that was a death sentence and it's gone. I need this doctor's number immediately." Hasn't happened. And it's because of cognitive dissonance. And I tell you, I'll go to my grave saying this because it's true, that we put medical professionals and PhDs and academics on way too high of a pedestal. We do. And we need to stop it. And as far as I'm concerned, the more letters you have after the name, the more closed-minded you become and the more refractory you become, and it's hard for you to make an objective decision. As again is evidenced by all of this coronavirus craziness. Where are our colleagues? Why aren't they standing up and saying this is BS? It can't be an unbelievably deadly pandemic on the one hand, and on the other hand, have 80% of the people who are infected with it asymptomatic carriers. Something doesn't smell right here. What's going on? Why aren't more people standing up and saying that? Well, inquiring minds would like to know.
I think they're under duress, and I think if they do, they're going to get smacked, at least in some states, smacked down by their medical boards. So there's a lot of things. But at some point, we have to stop being frightened and to speak the truth. Because what we do have is power, and we do have the truth on our side. And when people speak up, bullies stop. And that's really what we need to do. On that note, let's take our final break. You're living in the solution.
If you've tried taking over-the-counter medications, but still have problems with nasal congestion, recurrent sinus infections, sinus headaches, or a dry mouth when you wake up in the morning, why not fix the problem? From natural integrative treatment to minimally invasive surgery, Peachtree ENT Center will work with you to find the solution that works best for you. Call 404-591-9100 today to make an appointment, or visit us at peachtreeentcenter.com, because Peachtree ENT Center
is where patient care counts. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Peter Glidden. You know, you said a lot of just important things before the break. And let's talk a bit now. Let's segue into what people can do to help themselves. Yeah. We hear a lot about zinc. We hear about vitamin A, vitamin D3. What are if you had to pick the supplements that people need to use to help themselves, what would you recommend?
Well, okay. So I'll give you the bullet points. And then if people want to the solid document. So 3 months ago when this whole thing started, I interviewed four of my colleagues who, you know, and I think between us, we had like 180 years of clinical experience, right? And I interviewed them about what they did with their patients who were experiencing viral stress and or, you know, influenza-like illnesses, or what do we do for the coronavirus? And it was a simple interview with myself interviewing licensed and regulated naturopathic doctors with decades of experience. I put it all together on the website. We sold it as a video on demand, I think, for $20. And 6 days into its life on the internet banned it. It shut it down. Simply because it wasn't going with the conventional pharmaceutical method. And look, this was a licensed naturopathic doctor interviewing other licensed naturopathic doctors about what their clinical experience had been with real patients in real time, and it was banned. So I pivoted. I offered the video for free. The video is for free now. I've put together a little 14-page PDF document that accompanies it. I think we're selling that for $12, which has all of the details about everything that somebody can do right now, today, in real time, in order to upregulate their immune system. And you can find that at a brand new website that I've developed. It's called riseupintohealth.com. That's riseupintohealth.com. Just search for the coronavirus stuff. It's right there in the main menu, riseupintohealth.com. Now, watch the video. It's free. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes long. It's pretty compelling. But I also have the PDF document that walks you through exactly what you need to do. So buy the document, for goodness sakes, and support the cause, because, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. But there's a number of things that everybody can do right away. Now, I am not an advocate of vitamin D in nutritional supplement form, because vitamin D is not a vitamin. Vitamin D is a proto-hormone. And vitamin D messes with hormones in your body, or has hormonal action in the human body. And, you know, that's a system that I don't want to willy-nilly just interfere with because somebody said it might be a good thing to do. Vitamin D is best acquired by sun exposure. So do what Benjamin Franklin did. Take a 15-minute sun bath every day, even in the winter. Put your bathing suit on, lie in the window in the winter where the sunlight's coming through, and let the sunlight hit as much of your body as you can for 15 minutes every day. 30 minutes is better, but nobody has 30 minutes in the 21st century. And in the summertime, lie out in the sun for 15 minutes a day, or if it's cloudy, then, you know, do it for 30 minutes the next day. But sun exposure is an excellent way to get vitamin D, like David, into your body, number one. Number two, whole food vitamin C is different than ascorbic acid. Whole food vitamin C is like a bus with a lot of people inside of it. Ascorbic acid is just the bus. There's no people inside of it. And in this metaphor, the people would be all these different biochemicals. So whole food vitamin C is fantastic at upregulating the human immune system, but it needs to be whole food vitamin C, not ascorbic acid. Hands down, the easiest way to get whole food vitamin C into your body is with an organic lemon. So get an organic lemon. Cut it in half, squeeze the juice into cold water or hot water, and, you know, drink lemon juice from a whole organic lemon once in the morning, once in the afternoon, bada bing, bada boom. Now you've got whole food vitamin C into your body, and that beats a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. Number three, this is not for the faint of heart. This is not for the faint of heart, but it is extremely effective. Every time you take a shower, at the end of the shower, you turn the hot water off completely and you blast yourself for about 30 seconds with the cold water. and you run up and down in the shower and yell and scream and pound your chest with your hands, do whatever you need in order to stay under the cold water for a good 30 seconds. You know, put a towel down on the floor so you don't slip and fall and break your hip, for goodness sakes. But following a hot shower with a cold water rinse has been documented hundreds of times, proven with before and after blood work to strengthen your immune system. And, you know, is it a good idea to have a weak system, a weak immune system, or a strong immune system in the time of viral stress? Well, I'll take a strong immune system, Alex, for 500. Thank you very much. We need strong immune systems. A cold rinse after a hot shower is a really great way to do it. But, you know, it's an acquired taste, kind of like whiskey, kind of like tequila. But it's, you know, if you can get into it, then it's a really inexpensive, easy way to help your immune system. Number four, eat protein. Your immune system is made from protein. Isn't that interesting? That's what it's made from. You know, your bones are made from calcium and minerals, right? You need bone broth soup and minerals and stuff if you have a bone problem. Well, if you have an immune system problem or you want to make your immune system stronger, eat protein. So have protein with every meal. Eggs are an easy way to get protein. Rice and beans together in the same meal is a complete protein. Quinoa. The Aztec Empire was built on the protein quinoa. It's a grain. And by the way, we are strong advocates of butter and salt. Butter and salt, butter and salt, butter and salt, butter and salt. There's no relationship between salt and high blood pressure, and high cholesterol does not give you heart disease. And if that information doesn't make you prick up your ears and go, WTF, Dr. Glidden, what are you talking about? Then go to my website, riseupintohealth.com. I've got all of this information in video tutorials that you can purchase and watch for the rest of your life. I've written books about this subject in order to bring yourself up to speed, because this information that I'm disseminating is academic. It's science-based, clinically verified. It's a fact, Jack, but you're not going to hear it from conventional medical doctors because of the monopoly. And, you know, this goes against the pharmaceutical agenda, whatever the heck that is, for goodness sakes. This stuff is not rocket science, but there's very few people that, number one, have the license and the clinical experience, and number two, are talking about it in an educational way. And that's what I've dedicated the last half of my life to, public education. Because I'd rather educate 1,000 people in 1 month than treat 100, because it's much more impactful. And as God is my witness, for most of the conditions that most people go to the doctor for most of the time, including viral stress, you don't need a private appointment with a doctor. You don't. Some people do, but the majority don't. You just need to know what to do. Well, what food should I eat? What food should I avoid? What supplements should I take? What supplements should I not take? How much should I take? What herbs should I use? Mm-hmm. You figured all that out, you know, with decades of clinical experience, for goodness sakes. And so this is what gets me up in the morning, is being able to provide this information to whomever has ears to hear, because listen to this, because it's the truth. My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. And inside of a medical monopoly, your knowledge is extremely limited, and it's been done on purpose. Now, the last thing for immune upregulation is a botanical medicine. It's an herbal medicine made from olive leaf. And on my website, I have a link to my favorite olive leaf manufacturer. It's an alcohol extract of olive leaf. It's been proven to interfere with virus replication, because that's what a virus wants to do. It wants to infect a cell and make copies of itself. That's all it wants to do. And by the way, nobody knows where viruses come from. And by the way, right now in your human body, you know how many viruses are in your body right now? 780 trillion. Trillion. That's 1,000 billion. 780 trillion viruses in your body right now. Yeah, I'm telling you, conventional medical science doesn't know diddly squat about viruses, where they came from, what their purpose is, what they're doing, and what the deal is. So my profession's position is, well, God knows what's best. The human body knows what's best. So rather than trying to second guess nature and outsmart it, we say, well, human body knows how to fix itself. Human body wants to fix itself. Human body's trying to fix itself. So it has become my profession's sacred obligation to develop and deliver therapeutics that don't try to, you know, exert a hostile takeover of the metabolism of your body like drugs do, but support and promote your body's built-in God-given ability to fix itself, which is 1,000 times easier than you have been led to believe.
I think on that note, we have to come to the end of the show because it's inspiring, and anybody listening to this now has a call to action. In the second that we have, what's the best way people can reach you?
RiseUpIntoHealth.com.
Thank you, Dr. Glidden, for joining me. And thank you, everyone, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.